funny, photography perhaps more than any other, you know, form of visual art suffers from this problem that when seen in reproduction, people think that they've actually seen, you know, effectively seen the work, when all they've seen is a reproduction. You know, the image, if you like, seems to be the main thing, and it's important that people see the original object, if you like, you know, whether we want to call it a work of art or whatever we call it, because the object is the most important part of it at the start of the relationship. You know, you walk into a space and you absorb information through your whole body, and so the scale and the texture and just the physical presence of the work, even if it's a fairly flattish kind of object, which photographs are, is really important. And I think it often surprises people who've only seen the work in a reproduction in book or online, even when they sort of find themselves in front of, you know, the final product, if you want to call it, or the final sort of form that this thing is meant to be.
Because your photographs quite often are compared to paintings because of the strong composition, but I suppose in that sense as well, people wouldn't really think of seeing a painting in a printed form. They wouldn't think that they had actually appreciated that painting, but as you say, they perhaps would with a photograph. Would you urge people with that interest to come and actually see the photographs as you say they're meant to be?
Oh, I think, you know, everyone, we're all the same. We all, you know, absorb that information through, you know, all of our senses. And I think that it's a case of, you know, how interested people are in whatever the art form happens to be. But certainly, it's a very different thing to see things live, if you want to put it that way, than to sort of feel like you know the work from looking through a book or something.
And there's the interesting contrast in this exhibition in Adelaide of your quite early works with your most recent works as well. How would you describe the contrast there?
Look, I find that every work, in my case, it feels as though every work grows out of the last one. The newer, more recent pictures have grown out of the work that preceded. And so it's quite an organic process, if you like, and it just feels like a natural unfolding of something. Or you might even sort of be a little more brutal and say the pictures are the kind of, you know, the detritus at the edge of a kind of a road on which, you know, life's journey takes place or something, and they effectively become obsolete when you've finished with them, because you've taken it as far as you can and you've done everything you can in the work. The only way I know a picture's finished is when there's nothing more I can do about it, and then it's either, you know, it's either destroyed or it remains interesting enough for me to sort of let it out of the studio. And so all of the pictures sort of do connect to each other over time, but it's not really for me to say how, you know, what the meaning is and how they should be interpreted. The important thing is that people are reminded that it's the priority of individual experience. There's no correct or incorrect way of looking at a picture or listening to a piece of music. It's a journey you have to take as an individual. It's the priority of individual experience, if you like.
And some people may be surprised to learn that you've moved into these landscapes, those quite amazing waterfall scenes and the rocky beachscapes. What prompted you to take that approach there as well?
Well, I don't know. I think there's a very interesting equivalence to be found in working with different subjects. When I'm photographing people, you want this intense intimacy but with no familiarity. It's a very important thing, particularly where photography is concerned, more than any other medium. You know, if you imagine that you're lying on the floor listening to your favourite piece of music at night, and that is an intensely intimate experience, but it's not in any way familiar. Now, the great challenge, one of the challenges of photography, is to create an image which has that, you know, breathing, intense, proximate, tender intimacy, but without being familiar, without having that familiar dimension which can compromise the subject. And so you can actually bring that same kind of thinking to bear on a landscape. You know, a great landscape by, you know, a great painter of the past perhaps will tell you more about humanity, will tell you more about mankind and about our sort of emotional and intellectual state than a second-rate portrait of a human being. You know, I just think that there's an underlying sensitivity to one's environment that you see in really interesting landscapes, which suggests so much about the people who made them and the society of the time and place where these things were created.
And, of course, you'll be doing a special launch, I suppose, on Monday night, a special talk with Paul Grabowski. Will you be exploring the themes of your work there, or what do you hope will come from that? You both have your shared interest in music as well.
Oh, yes. Well, music's a very important part of my life. I use music quite a lot. I listen to it an awful lot, and musical forms and particular ways in which things are performed can inform the way of working and can help you sort of solve problems in the work. And of course, making visual art as it is, you often find that the images that you produce can suggest certain types of music that you then go off looking for. So there's a kind of an exchange or a dialogue that goes on between that, but the same applies to literature and other things. I mean, you draw inspiration from everywhere, not just from, let's say, cultural artefacts, that we're talking about. It's very, very hard to sort of draw a line between things and say, this was what was inspiring me or this was influencing me in such and such a way, because to what extent a walk down to the local supermarket is influencing the way in which you work and feel and think, and the extent to which reading a particular author intensively is influencing you. It's very hard to say.
The Australian Law Reform Commission is looking at reviewing the classification on art, actually imposing classifications on art in the same way as TV and film. I was wondering what your view on that was, whether you have any concerns about that proposal.
Oh, well, I think we'll be one of the only countries in the world to have a system if that's the case. I think that it would be quite frankly absurd, but I'm biased.
Film and TV have had that kind of classification for decades, but you see that art would be quite a separate proposition to that?
I do think art is not just entertainment. I think the arts are far more important, and they're a far more serious and valuable part of our society and our civilization. A friend of mine once sort of said, a barrister said to me, without the law we'd have no society, but without art we'd have no civilization. So I believe that the arts in general are far more important and should be viewed in a separate light to just the kind of what I would call popular culture and the business of, popular music and mainstream cinema. I believe there are differences. People might disagree with that. A lot of people don't disagree with the idea of high culture and low culture, but I think the thing is one has to consider whether or not we place any importance on the arts and whether we give arts the sort of the space that they need to not just to inspire but to challenge our society. And I think the amount of license, if you like, that we give the arts depends upon the regard in which we hold the arts. And it would be my hope that they are given the sort of the respect and the space that they need. But I guess we'll wait and see.
I suppose I relate this to, of course, when you were thrust into the spotlight in 2008. I mean, how, when the police shut down your Sydney exhibition, how have you responded to that since? Have you deliberately laid low? There hasn't perhaps been a lot of your works exhibited, or have you just tried to push on as normal?
I think things have carried on just as normal. I did a very big show in Sydney last year, a big show in Melbourne this year, one in New York last year. I haven't changed what I do at all, and I have no intention of changing what I do. I think it's very important to keep a sense of proportion in these things too. It's a really sort of fundamental thing that you don't allow these kind of flurries of sort of these little panics that sort of get sort of cranked up to sort of shake your conviction or your belief. I think we need to keep a sense of proportion. I sometimes it's quite funny, actually, because sometimes I'm asked by students a similar kind of question. If you're speaking at a graduation address or somewhere other, at a museum or a university, and they say, was it difficult or was it hard or something to that effect, and it makes me smile because you have to kind of step back from these things and say, well, hard? I don't know. I think growing up on the wrong side of the tracks in Africa might be hard, or you know, being a Jew in Hitler's Europe, hard, but being, you know, chased around the block by a couple of goons from Fairfax, not really hard.
So it hasn't affected the approach you have to your work and how you choose your subject matter?
No, I think if anything, it's just strengthened my convictions, you know. Of course, as you work, you are full of doubts about the work you do, but that's those doubts are to do with the sort of the aesthetics, the nature of the picture, and whether the picture is any good. And I think that's a continuous process of a rise and fall in doubt and confidence that all artists go through, no matter what the medium. But in terms of the way in which you're talking about it in relation to 2008, no, I don't think it's made any difference at all. If anything, just has strengthened my conviction about the importance of art in general, and that's that.
So perhaps hopeful that Adelaide audiences can come to see your art and make decisions on that for themselves.
Well, that's the important thing. As I said earlier, the priority of individual experiences cannot be overestimated. Art is a journey that enriches not just our culture, but at an individual level, but in a unique way for each person. You know, you must give it time and open yourself up to it, but it's a tremendously interesting journey. And many people in history have said art is the highest form of education. You know, it's not just technology. It involves a whole range of things. It has a spiritual dimension. It is the, you know, great art, in fact, is the evidence of history. You know, it is the, you know, great art as the revelation of history. It's a tremendously important thing. So I would hope that, as you referred to the ALRC, that it's considered in a serious light, because, you know, it'd be absurd if it were otherwise.